Welcome to Memphis Metropolis on WYXR 91.7 FM. I'm your host, Emily Trenum. Memphis Metropolis is all about our city as an urban place, including its neighborhoods, buildings, pathways, and parks, as well as the people who shape it. Join us each week as community leaders and commentators talk with me about our shared built environment. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Memphis Metropolis on WYXR 91.7 FM. I'm Emily Trenum. I'm the Memphis Metropolis host. And again, this show, I got out of my home recording studio / laundry room, and I came out in the community, specifically the neighborhood of Fraser. And we're going to be talking about a place and a program in Fraser called Fraser Connect. So my guest is Dr. Nicole Gates, who is the connector of the Connect program at the Connect Center. So
a lot of connections.
So Nicole, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Emily. Thanks for having me.
So as I was saying in the earlier, I want to talk about all the different things you do. Fraser Connect's part of Fraser CDC, Fraser Community Development Corporation, and actually my very first Memphis Metropolis was with Executive Director Steve Lockwood. He was Executive Director at the time.
Yes.
And that was my very first Memphis Metropolis show. So, but now we're back in Fraser, talking about a very interesting place that that the CDC has. So Nicole, let's start out by saying, what is the Connect Center in Fraser?
Well, Emily, I like to say that the Fraser Connect Center is a place where we are literally connecting the dots for our residents, our entrepreneurs in this community, to valuable resources. This place is like a gem, a hidden gem, I would like to say, because I think a lot of people don't know that this place actually exists.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute, because it is, you think of sort of community resource centers mm-hmm. of different kinds
Correct.
Being located on, you know, on the main drag. And,
right.
And this is actually a little tucked away. So tell me about the building, what it used to be,
yes.
how the CDC got to acquire it, and how it is kind of tucked away in a neighborhood.
It is. Like I said, it's a hidden gem, but this building actually used to be Georgian Hills Baptist Church at one point in time. And Georgian Hills Baptist Church, I guess after, you know, just deciding to close the church, donated it to Fraser CDC. So I think Fraser CDC really got, a million dollar idea, you know, by putting the Fraser Connect Center here, because it's a great way for our residents to actually come in and learn various things. We have community stakeholders and partners that come in and do programming for us. So an amazing place, and it is tucked away.
So is it, this is probably an obvious question, but is it in the Georgian Hills neighborhood? And then mm-hmm. where is it located? Sort of, Fraser's a big place. Is it, I mean, it's off North Watkins.
Correct.
Which is a street a lot of people drive up and down in Fraser, but it seems like it's kind of on the north side, sort of, for people that know Fraser, and probably a lot of people don't, sort of located mm-hmm. for us.
So, the Fraser CDC is located at Watkins and Burnham. We are
right.
actually located at Watkins and Steele.
Okay.
Kind of tucked away. Yes, we're in the Georgian Hills neighborhood, which is amazing. Just a great location. Aesthetically beautiful inside and out. Just a blessing to actually have this building and be able to use it for the Fraser residents.
And so what's the, before we talk about the different, the programs, like what's the inside of the building like? Like what are the different spaces? I'm guessing there's, it used to be a church. So mm-hmm. what are the different spaces inside the church and how are you using them?
Well, in the Fraser Connect Center, we actually, as you enter, you would enter through our back parking lot. That's our main entrance. We do actually have a couple of office spaces up front. One is actually being used for a communications center. So we can actually do podcasting here, whether it's audio or visual, in this room. So it's beautifully decorated.
Well, we should mention that not only am I in the Fraser Connect Center doing this interview, but I'm in the podcast studio.
Yes.
And Fraser has its own podcast studio.
We do.
And we are there recording this show.
Yes.
So it's amazing. Anyway, I digressed, but I meant to call that out at the top of the show.
It's awesome. I mean, it's really cool that you are here in this space and being able to utilize this space. But as you enter our building, we do have a really large community room that can be used multi-purpose, right? We have people that come in and they may use it for a family reunion or a baby shower. We have organizations that come in and use it to do training. We've had board retreats here. We've done workshops on Alzheimer's and all kinds of stuff like in our community room. So that's available to residents or organizations, stakeholders in the community. Then as you go through our double doors, I'm giving you a little walk down through
please.
The Fraser Connect.
Even though we're on the radio.
Absolutely.
It's still good.
Imagine with me.
Right.
So if you go down our hallway to the left, we have three classrooms, which one is actually being occupied by Epicenter. And they come in and they do some training for our entrepreneurs.
And we're going to be talking about the partners.
Yeah, they're so awesome. And then we actually just recently changed up one of the spaces to incorporate a co-working space, a copy center, and a virtual office for people in this community because they are so far away from the next FedEx Kinko's.
Well, when you think about when you think about neighborhoods, and I always talk about, community amenities, mm-hmm. People need access to a grocery store and they need access to a park.
Yes.
They need access to high quality schools. You don't really think they need access to small business facilities, but of course they do.
They do.
And that's
they do.
Been missing in Fraser.
It has.
There's probably a lot of home-based businesses. And so you're offering facilities for them.
Yes. And even for the residents, even if they're not a business owner, they can actually come in. One of the things I noticed very early on for many, many years, I've worked in this community probably more than 15 years. The Wi-Fi here is just horrible. And I never could understand that. But we have
In Fraser in general.
There's certain areas that you can go to in Fraser and the Wi-Fi will just totally cut out. Your phone call might drop So we looked at that and I started really looking
it's
at
Wi-Fi or cell service?
I think it's both.
Okay.
I think it's both. It's kind of sketchy. I hear people saying, they're at home. They can't get a good signal on their internet service, but they come here and they have great service. So we really wanted to kind of open up the space so people can have access to that. Because, kids do homework now online. There's so much being done online, especially after COVID, right? And so we wanted to open the space up for that. But we do also have a commercial prep kitchen where people can actually come in. Not a kitchen that they can necessarily cook, but they can bake in that kitchen if you have a business that is, baking cookies or cupcakes or whatever. They could actually do that.
Or making box lunches. I feel like a lot of people who are in catering businesses get their start with those kind of things.
Yes.
Sandwich platters.
Yes.
And
charcuterie
and
boards are like the big thing now.
They're the big thing now.
And we've gotten a lot of calls about that. So that's really exciting to be able to open up that space for our entrepreneurs that is in the food industry to be able to tap in and make some money. That changes. Anytime an entrepreneur can change their level of income, that is a game changer for a lot of people. So I'm excited about that. But the front part of the building is a church, and we still operate that as a church. We have a church that actually rents that space. One Faith Christian Ministries with Pastor Baron Martin. He is amazing. He has been a total asset to us here with assisting us with all the things that we wanted to do and opening up this space for the community. He is totally community driven. So we're excited.
Well, that's so interesting because when you think about, I actually did a show about the challenges of repurposing churches in urban neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's been a number of churches, like, for example, on Summer Avenue, where, the congregation has closed and really this probably isn't the case in Fraser, but certainly in Summer Avenue, the underlying real estate is valuable.
Yeah.
It's a perfect place for a gas station, according to some people.
Right.
And it's hard to make the numbers work to repurpose those old church buildings, but one way you can is to make the sanctuary and the church facilities available to one or more congregations.
Right. Yeah.
So that's great. You were able to, and bring some revenues in.
Right. And another thing that we learned very early on, is that the church can also open up for other people, like funerals, right?
So yes,
we started seeing a little uptick in that, and we've had a couple of people that came in and rented the space for to host a funeral or a repast. So
you know what, that's pretty good. You've got the, I guess, this big open space, and again, we're like acting like we're not on the radio, and this big open space, I guess, is the equivalent of the fellowship hall,
right? Exactly.
And yeah, you do. Yeah. You could meet all those needs.
Right.
So last, in terms of the space, there's really an amazing urban garden. So tell me about that.
So our Fraser Connect Garden is actually run by who we call Farmer C, Miss Camille James. She is absolutely amazing. I mean, she lives and breathes and eats this stuff. Like, she is so good about the garden. She's teaching. It's a learning garden, actually, is what she refers to it as. So people actually come in and they learn how to garden, how to get back to the things that we already knew, right? Why go and buy this stuff when you can grow it yourself, right? So she's teaching them how to garden, not just in the ground, but container gardening and, you know, raised beds and all that good stuff. But she does classes. What I really love about what she does a thing called seed to market. So she's taken the stuff that they've grown in the garden, they've made products. So now she's teaching them how to become entrepreneurs as well, right? And sell the products that they actually have from the garden. They make tomato sauce. They've done all kinds of stuff.
Does she use a kitchen for that?
We want her to. We want to actually partner with her to actually do some like canning classes and like the dried fruits and stuff like that. So yeah, we're looking at doing that too. So that's another piece of that puzzle. So she's instrumental into the work that we're doing here. It all feeds together, if you notice.
Well, you know. Plus the Fraser Garden was part of a big community-wide garden celebration recently. And I think that brought a lot of new people in.
It did. So they did the garden walk. They were a part of that garden walk. And I was here that day. It was awesome to see people from other communities actually come in and, you know, just like, wow, we didn't know Fraser has something like this. So Miss Camille is amazing. She does classes every Thursday for people that's just interested. Maybe you don't even know that you want to have a garden, but ironically, I took her class and I was like, wow, this is amazing. Very knowledgeable, fun. I think people are engaged. She packs out a room. She does.
So we can, at the end of the show, we can talk about this, but you send out a really informative monthly e-newsletter.
Correct.
That has information about a lot of the events, including the garden events. And I think those are all free.
Yes, they are. Most of the programming we do here really has no cost.
I want to talk about how Fraser Connect is really its overarching goals, but I mean, the programs are available pretty much to everybody, right? Yeah.
And we want to be, you know, we kind of position ourselves to kind of be the communication hub for the Fraser community. This is where people come to find out, like, what's going on in the community. We have people that just stop in and say, hey, can I get a couple of newsletters, you know, so they can keep track of the calendar and see what's going on with, you know, Fraser PTSA and all of the great other organizations that are housed in the Fraser community.
So let's talk about the Fraser Connect initiative or program.
Correct.
Okay. And I think, you know, the goals of that are really, really economic empowerment the community, both in terms of individuals and businesses to sort of lift up the Fraser community. But tell me about who the partners are in that, and then some of the different programs that have been available as part of that official, for want of a better word, Fraser Connect program.
Well, I'll start with Epicenter. So we have Miss Toya Johnson.
And so tell me what Epicenter is.
So Epicenter, I would say the entrepreneurial hub for Memphis, really, honestly. They do all things entrepreneurship, regardless of the industry.
And so what are the programs that different programs they've offered here?
Co-starters. So this is a person that just, you know, I have an idea. I think I want to start a business. Let me kind of flush it out a little bit. So they walk them through the process. Like, you know, here's your idea. So they take them from the idea to, you know, really having a solid, you know, concept, and then helping them to make the steps to make it happen, right? They do capital pitch training, which is absolutely amazing. I sat in on one of those classes.
So that's basically pitching investors.
Yes.
Yeah, that is so, yes, that is so needed, especially for small businesses.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it gives them practice just talking about their business and why they're passionate about it. So it's amazing to watch. She takes them from literally the beginning, people that would never probably talk in front of a group. And by the time they finish that class, they are like,
they're flipping experts through their slides.
Yeah, they're ready. They are armed and dangerous.
That is so great.
So it's really exciting to see that. And then our other partner, Rise Memphis, and they do education around financial literacy. So they have a program called Save Up. So they are working with the residents in this community to actually teach them how to, you know, hey, let's match you. So they'll match for every $1, $2. I think that's how it goes, or something like that.
So I think, yeah, they have financial literacy training, but also, as you said, they have a program called Save Up.
Yeah.
And it's basically amazing. It's match savings.
Right.
And it's just, it's really designed to help families build their assets. So as part of the program, yes, you save over a period of time a certain amount of money, and then they bring in dollars to match it. And then at the end, you purchase an asset of some kind. Maybe it's a car, maybe it's a computer, maybe it's down payment on a home.
Right. And they've expanded it. I think now they even include entrepreneurship. So I think people are really starting to see. So I think the common bond that we all have is we're all trying to empower our Fraser residents to, like, hey, listen, if you can't find a job, you can create one, you know, or just utilize the marketable skills that you have already. And how can you create income from that? You know, so it's really awesome to see the collaboration between the three organizations.
Yep, definitely. So talk a little bit about the, you know, sort of the community engagement piece. I know I'm very, you know, a lot of times community development corporations, you know, they do affordable housing, or they do, you know, maybe workforce programs. But a lot of times they're focused on what we call bricks and mortar.
Right.
You know, commercial development. Mm-hmm. And Fraser has done all those things, but not necessarily, you know, reaching out into the community to just let more people know about what's going on, but also reaching people that are difficult to get in touch with.
Yes.
You know, not everybody is getting their email newsletters.
That is true.
Or,
that is
you know,
true.
There's digital divide issues, and some people are very low income. They're working multiple jobs. Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about, you know, big picture, what your engagement goals are and how you're trying to reach them.
So one of the things we had just recently talked about, there are some areas of the Fraser community, there's a lot of apartment complexes here, and there's other stakeholders that work in those apartment complexes. It's like, how do we reach that group of people? Because those are not necessarily, like you said, they may be working multiple jobs. They may not be able to come to the Fraser Exchange Club meeting to hear about all of the stuff that's happening in Fraser. So we have to go meet them where they are. So now with the newsletter, we'll be taking newsletters into those communities, and hopefully that will start to engage them. And then, you know, there's some things that I think our Fraser ambassadors are amazing at, like getting out there and talking to the residents, letting them know the programming that's happening here at the Fraser Connect Center or other places. So we have four ambassadors who are absolutely amazing. They are all residents, with the exception of one, are all residents of the Fraser community. The other, she actually does a lot of work in the community. She actually started with our garden program and was referred to me, and I was like, yes, I would love to have her. So just a bright light of sunshine with all of them, that they all serve in different capacities, but they are like the best with engaging our residents.
Well, I want to have a follow-up question before I do that. I want to reintroduce you. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Memphis Metropolis and WYXR 91.7 FM, and we're talking to Nicole Gates, who is we're in the Fraser community, specifically at the Fraser Connect Center. And we're talking about the different programs and services that are available at the center. So so on that subject, this is not so much a question as just really an observation, mm-hmm. is I just think that, you know, there's so much emphasis on, you know, digital communications. And of course, I've embraced that along with everybody else,
yes.
But But sometimes you just got to do door knocking.
Right.
Or you have to go to where, like you said, where people are.
Yes.
And in person, I think a lot of community-based organizations did a great job. I was amazed that a lot of community-based organizations, even low-income areas, pivoted to Zoom and stuff like that during COVID because people could do it on their phones once they knew how to do it. But it can't replace, I'm getting on my soapbox here, but it just can't replace like meeting people because that's where you have the conversations.
Absolutely.
You know, on Zoom, you don't say, it's just different. It's a different way of interacting. And of course you don't run into people on Zoom.
Right.
That's the thing with me. I'm, you know a lot of people in the community and love to get out, and but it's the running into people
Absolutely.
That builds your knowledge base, builds your network.
Yes.
It's like, hey, what's happening in Fraser? I haven't seen you in forever.
Right.
That does not happen on Zoom, which is scheduled.
Right, exactly. Zoom is so impersonal. And, you know, I think because of my work in the Fraser community, I originally started off with Shelby County with the Infant Mortality Initiative. And so the biggest thing that I did with, you know, working that job in this community, I was like, we got to knock on doors. We got to go where they are. So canvassing is like a big thing for me. I'm not foreign to it. I welcome it. I think a lot of people have gotten away from it, you know, but I really think you can't miss out on that human touch. People want to be engaged and they want a friendly face and they want to be able to ask questions and they want to be engaged in their community. But a lot of times they don't feel welcome.
Well,
and so
especially
we want to change that.
If you're giving them something that would be useful instead of asking them for something.
Right. Exactly.
So
exactly.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
So when you and the ambassadors do get out in the community, I know since you've been on board, you've done, you know, community outreach and surveys. And so what kinds of programs do people want? I know you told me recently there was a big interest by seniors.
Yes.
But what else do people want that isn't available in Fraser?
People want something for the kids, actually, the teenagers in particular, to, you know, be able to do. We have a lot of great organizations in the Fraser community. I take nothing from that. We have our community center, which is great, but it's limited, you know. And so when those centers are closed or those organizations aren't in the community working, then what happens with these kids, right? So we're looking at ways that we can kind of engage that group of, you know, kids. Maybe they come here and they do some training that's going to help them secure a job in the future, or, you know, whatever. We're looking at ways, how do we engage that particular group of kids? And then we're looking at also for our seniors. Our seniors feel like forgotten. We don't want them to feel forgotten. They are valuable to our community and being able to kind of bridge the gap. So,
well, is there a big, I mean, I know that some neighborhoods like Orange Mound and Bickford Bearwater have large senior centers where a lot of people come every day for lunch and for programs and for Zumba and all that.
Yeah. I've been to our closest one. And ironically, we have the Ed Rice Community Center, which is great. And I know they do some programming for seniors, some exercise classes and other things like that. But the closest senior center is actually in Raleigh. So for a person in the Fraser community that may not be mobile, may not be really in touch with what's going on in the community, maybe they have no access to that information, we need something like in the community. I just really believe, you know, if things are available in the community, people will utilize it. They'll utilize it. And I think it's important for us to get that word out. Hey, this is happening. We did programming here for seniors and we've packed out the room with seniors, you know.
So you mentioned to me that you just got a grant from Arts Memphis for a senior program.
So
tell me about that. That's
so,
very cool.
Yeah. So we wrote a grant application for a quilting program. We call it the Silver Seniors Quilting Club. And really, seniors want something to do. And it's several fold, I'll say. So giving them, you know, something to do, it's a lot of history in quilting, right? but we wanted to bring in some of the teens. So Ms. Delma, who is one of our amazing ambassadors, is actually going to lead that project. But she did a like a pilot program this summer, and she worked. Even my daughters participated. My granddaughter.
Did they
and
do
grandson.
It willingly, or did you make them?
Willingly. It was so funny because I didn't think they would want to quilt. You know, you kind of don't know. You know, teens nowadays, they're so social media driven and always on the phone.
Sewing seems so old.
Yeah, and so, but they loved it. They absolutely, and I watched them like transform and listening to her kind of tell the history of quilting and where she learned it from. And I was like, you know, we need to tap in on this. And this gives seniors an opportunity. Seniors want somebody to talk to. They want to feel young and vibrant. And I think the youth kind of bring that aspect, but they bring the history and, you know, that rich, rich history. And I, pulling it together, I was like, oh, I think we got something. So we applied for the grant through Arts Memphis, and they absolutely loved it. And we were awarded. So I'm excited to kind of get that kicked off in October and see, let's see what happens.
That's amazing. Yeah. So besides the youth programs and seniors, what other kinds of, I guess a two-part question.
Okay.
What other kinds of programs are people interested in? And then how are you connecting people with the other programs of the Fraser CDC, like homeownership training?
Yes.
And of course they have rental housing,
right.
Nice rental housing. And how are those, because you're physically, it's only down the street, but you're physically
right.
Separated from them. So how are you connect? How is that two-way connection
yes.
happening?
So we do a couple of things. So we definitely use our newsletter as a vehicle, you know, to drive that information. Mary Cunningham, who is works at Fraser CDC, she actually runs the classes on money and credit, home buying and post-purchase, and she does an amazing job. So we help push the word out about those classes because a lot of people, believe it or not, you know, this is a community that's constantly moving and,
yep.
you know, people are in and out.
Well,
and
a lot of people are renting
yes.
and not homeowners. Yes.
Yeah. And so one thing that I think I admired many years ago, just me working at Shelby County, but I was aware of all the work that Fraser CDC was doing under Steve Lockwood's leadership. And I think it's his legacy is the fact that I remember seeing the billboards, like, you know, why rent when you can own and
right.
all of this good stuff. And I
of course,
was like,
those
wow.
Those numbers aren't good anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it used to be cheap to rent and to buy in Fraser. And it still is, relatively speaking,
mm-hmm.
but,
mm-hmm.
you know, prices have gone up.
Yeah,
and Fraser's,
oh, yeah.
And Fraser's become more desirable.
Absolutely. So, which is awesome, but I think it's all at, you know, his hand, his leadership really kind of led to that. And so, just seeing people want to thrive, not just survive, but thrive in a community is amazing. And a lot of people are coming to this community. You know, it used to be a thing. I know when I first moved to Memphis, it was like, Fraser, don't go to Fraser. And I was like, why? Why we don't want to go to Fraser?
Yeah.
And I love Fraser. Absolutely love it.
I love Fraser too.
Yeah.
And I just, first of all, it's people don't realize how convenient it is.
Yes.
It's just right there. It's
very, much so.
It's very convenient to downtown and to Midtown and really to East Memphis. It's just convenient.
Yeah.
And you think about places where people do live, like Southeast Memphis. I mean, not dissing those neighborhoods.
Right.
But that's a haul.
Yeah, it is. It's a drive.
Fraser is very convenient. It's got it's hilly, which a lot of places in Memphis are not. So
and
it's
there's
got
some
a very
beautiful neighborhoods.
There's some
here.
Beautiful neighborhoods.
Oh my gosh,
yeah,
and beautiful people here.
And of course, there's yeah. you know there's some blight and there's some disinvested areas, but no more so than a lot of neighborhoods.
Absolutely.
So I never understood that when before I got involved in community development. Yeah, Fraser is like the joke that everyone makes. Like when I lived in New York and people would make fun of like New Jersey.
Mm-hmm,
you know what I mean?
Right,
it was the same thing.
Right.
Fraser was the insult.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
And then I came up for it. I was like, I didn't understand that. There's a lot of other places that Fraser's nicer than a lot of other places.
Well, you know, it's so funny because my years of working in public affairs, I was able to go out and kind of vet some complaints that would come into the mayor's office. And I'll never forget going actually into, I guess it would be Germantown, maybe Cordova area. And this house, beautiful house, but the blight around the house was, I was just like blown away. And I was like, and people talk about Fraser, you know, and they talk about Fraser. Seriously, there's some beautiful communities in
there
the
are some,
yeah, oh my gosh.
Yes. And you can
yes.
still get a really good deal, a
yes.
nice house,
beautiful
homes. And a big lot. So,
yes.
so Yeah, everyone needs to move up to Fraser. It's really
just come on down, right?
Come on down, and you can participate in the programs at the Connect Center and
Absolutely.
All that stuff. So, Nicole, usually I ask people this at the beginning of the program, and I don't know why I didn't. I guess I just forgot. So where did you grow up neighborhood-wise? I'm assuming you're from Memphis, but maybe not.
I'm not. Okay. I am not. I would say implants to the Memphis community. I actually grew up in Illinois. So,
okay.
South suburbs of Chicago. So, okay. Yeah.
And so, but what neighborhoods in Memphis have you lived? You said you live in Raleigh.
I live in Raleigh.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I'm a neighbor of Fraser. Okay. Not too far, literally just right there.
So you've lived in Raleigh the whole time you've been in the Memphis area.
I lived in Whitehaven originally when I first moved to Memphis, probably about 3 years there. And then I moved out this way.
Okay.
But I like it so much better.
Okay.
Like, seriously, I know people love Whitehaven. I'm like, you know, this to Whitehaven. Well, I liked it, but I really like this area.
Whitehaven's a neighborhood that I feel also has not gotten the love it deserves.
Right. Yeah.
And that's starting to change. There's been some new investments in Whitehaven, both public sector and private sector. So,
It was a different vibe for me, I think, you know, living there. Maybe it was because I was new and I don't have family here. I don't know anybody here when I first moved there. So it wasn't a sense of community. But when I got out here, I have and I've done most of my work in this community. It feels like home to me.
Well, that's one of the things about Fraser is that Steve Lockwood always says it's a beehive of activity.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's very engaging.
You've
got the Exchange Club. You've got the Community Association. Mm-hmm. Now you have Fraser Connect. You've got a lot of very robust church congregations doing a lot of activities.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. I think Fraser, considering its suburban-style development for the most part, Fraser is very engaged.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised to hear you say that.
More, and I think more than some communities. And I've worked in other communities, but I've seen nothing like the community here, right?
Yep. So, So Nicole, before we go, what did I not ask you about Fraser that you'd like people to know? And then how can people find out more about what's happening at the Fraser Connect Center?
Well, I think we covered all bases. I would say, if I had a tagline, it would probably be give Fraser a try. You know, like, we literally, there are people that are boots on the ground that are making a lot of stuff happen in this community for youth, for seniors, for everybody, for entrepreneurs. I mean, it's just growing by leaps and bounds. It's absolutely amazing. It has changed, you know.
Plus, Rico's Kickin' Chicken is opening a second restaurant here. Everybody needs to know that.
Right.
Very important.
They are very excited about them coming into the Fraser community. I am too. Those are friends of mine. So I'm really excited. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We won't lose any weight. But really, if they want to find out more information, of course, they are always welcome to come to our center. We're located at 1635 Georgian Drive. And we're here pretty much almost 7 days a week because we have activities.
And then what about on the web?
On the website, they go to FraserCDC.org.
Okay.
And we have a page on the CDC's
and
website.
And can people sign up for the, it's called the... get it in the mail, so I know why it's called the blue calendar, because it's historically been photocopied on blue paper.
Right, yes.
But it's called the blue calendar, and it comes digitally now, as well as paper copies.
Right.
But people can sign up for the blue calendar.
They can also do that on the website. Our newsletter is actually located at a lot of key places. At Rice Community Center. They can get it at the library. They can get it from the CDC. They can come by here. So it's all over the community. They can pretty much find it.
Okay.
So, yes.
All right. Well, great. So you've been listening to Memphis Metropolis on WYXR 91.7 FM. I've been talking to Dr. Nicole Gates about the Fraser Connect program. So Nicole, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, Emily, for having me. I'll have to come back soon.
You've been listening to Memphis Metropolis on WYXR 91.7 FM. I'm Emily Trenum. Memphis Metropolis airs every Monday at 1, so please tune in again next week. You can listen to past programs on our program page at wyxr.org. or on MemphisMetropolis.com. You can also follow us and send feedback on social media. Now, stay tuned for Memphis Undercover with Nancy.